an asteroid sounds that cute, I don't mind that it comes very close to Earth. Bill Leff is off today. Jimmy Mack is sitting in his chair. I'm Wendy Snyder. And saw in the news that there's a giant asteroid that's going to zoom past us. Whenever I find something space-related, we call the Adler Planetarium, and we have Dr. Mark Hammergren with us. Thanks for coming back, Dr. Hammergren.
My great pleasure. Great to be here.
We like having you here. This is the first time you have seen our brand-new studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio.
These are really spiffy digs here.
Mm-hmm. Pretty nice. The Adler Planetarium is also a great place to visit. You have a giant telescope, and you can tell us about this asteroid. First and foremost, what is the story?
Yeah, so, you know, spoiler alert, it's basically a non-story.
There's you're like a flight attendant. I'm looking at your face to make sure we don't have to be worried.
We really don't. This is really just press release material, just to promote the good work that NASA is doing in asteroid surveys and cataloging.
To make us feel more comfortable and safe in case there is, because this is a 500-foot-wide asteroid.
That's right, yeah, but it's not going to pass any closer than maybe a million miles away from the Earth.
Ooh.
And its orbit. Now, they call it a potentially hazardous asteroid. And that's a technical detail.
That's what scared me.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah. And that means that it has to be a certain size, above maybe 140 meters, you know, so close to 500 feet across or so, or bigger, and pass within about 4 or 5 million miles of the Earth's orbit. Now, that's just to get that label potentially hazardous. Doesn't mean that it's necessarily even on a collision course or even intersecting the Earth's orbit.
All right.
Well, wait a second now, because I'm still not convinced.
Yeah.
You said the path of the asteroid is going to be how far away in proximity to Earth? A million miles?
More than a million miles.
But
yeah.
In space, that's just like down the block.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
So, to give us a perspective, say how far away is Pluto from Earth? Because that's the furthest planet away.
Right. So Pluto is about roughly 40 times further from the sun than the Earth is. So about 40 astronomical units. So that's, multiply that by 93 million miles, and you get, billions of miles.
Billions of miles.
Billions of miles.
So in essence, this asteroid is flying right through our neighborhood. Is there anything that it could connect with that would change its course?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, the hurricane that's happening in Hawaii right now, weather fronts, a lot of times they change direction. Any chance that could happen?
Weather is a lot more chaotic than orbital mechanics, the things that dictate the paths of asteroids, at least on the time scales that we're talking about here. Over very long time scales, like thousands of years, their orbits are indeed chaotic. But still, we can predict where they're going to go with a very good degree of certainty, as long as our observations are good enough, out to almost 1,000 years into the future. And we know that this asteroid doesn't even intersect the Earth's orbit. Nothing is going to modify that greatly over at least the next 1,000 years. And it's not going to come any closer than about 1.1 million miles to Earth.
Now, just say it was heading straight for us.
Right.
Did you see that movie Armageddon?
I did indeed. Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring that up. I'm going to be giving a talk with the original screenwriter of Armageddon next month.
Who wrote that?
Adler?
Is that a Michael Bay film?
Robert Roy Poole is his name.
So what they do is they send a crew out to space to intercept this, it was an asteroid, right? And it was flying toward the planet, so they were going to put some sort of rockets on the asteroid to change its course.
In the movie, they drilled a hole and put a big nuke on it to
blow the thing apart. Yeah, right. And to blow it apart.
Blow it to smithereens.
It's been a long time since I saw it. Now, I'm not a particular fan of the movie.
I can't believe you brought up Armageddon.
Well, I just remember it. Now, is there any way, if it was heading straight towards Earth, is there any way to incorporate the technology from the 1979 Atari video game Asteroids? Where we could send a little triangular-shaped ship up into space.
No, we don't have any designs for something like that. And also those little pellets that it shoots out.
We're not quite sure what that is. That's exactly what... So that's what I'm talking about right there, is to incorporate that technology somehow. So.
Yeah. So there's a lot of thought about what to do if an asteroid is coming at us.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's the most helpless situation we could possibly be.
But we have time.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know. The most important thing to do in terms of asteroid defense is find them in the first place and make sure we get plenty of warning time. I was talking about looking at the orbits and following them into the future. Ideally, we would have hundreds of years of warning about a potential impact. And that means that if we just nudge it very slightly, that distance, that difference will grow over time. It'll grow chaotically, actually, go much, much larger. And so a tiny nudge will cause it to miss the Earth.
Okay. All right.
I feel better now.
I feel better. Not 100%, but because we'd have such lead time, knowledge of that would change the course of society. And everyone would be pooling their efforts together.
It would be like a zombie apocalypse.
No, it wouldn't be. It would be a great moment because it would bring the world together.
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
To fight this.
People would be grabbing water and stuff for themselves. I think it would be a chaotic mess. We're selfish jerks sometimes.
No, but we would know hundreds of years prior.
I guess. You know, Dr. Mark Hammergren is here, an astronomer with the Adler Planetarium, and I was worried since Bill wasn't here, we wouldn't ask stupid question. But
oh, I
Jim,
got that
congratulations
I got
for the
that
asteroid
covered.
Question.
I just want to make Bill F. proud. That's all I want to do.
Dr. Hammergren, do you like to play the game of asteroids? Because we go to Galloping Ghost in Brookfield, Illinois, where they have old-time video games,
yes.
And that's one of my favorites.
You know, Asteroids was one of my favorite games. Yeah. Surprisingly, that was before I really got interested in the real things. And then there's this other game, Sinistar, where you mine asteroids for crystals.
Really?
Yeah. To use to fight this monster. Yeah.
All right, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Pluto, and you did too, Jim. So is it a planet again? Because I know that it was an ectoplanet. It was a planet when we were going to school. Uranus changed to Uranus just because everybody giggled. And then Pluto was ousted and was not a planet. And now I heard it's a planet again. What's up with Pluto?
Well, when Pluto was redefined in its category from a major planet, a regular planet, to a dwarf planet back in 2006, yeah, it was removed from the list of the major eight. But you know, my point is that a dwarf planet is still a planet.
Right.
Right. And you shouldn't say dwarf planet anymore. It should be like little planet.
I
think that's politically correct, right?
Well, ironically, and I really don't like that new definition back in 2006 because they call it a dwarf planet. They invented that new category, but it is not really based on its size. It was excluded from the list of planets because it hasn't cleared its orbital region of other debris. So there are a lot of other asteroid-sized things out by Pluto's orbit. So that's the reason, not Pluto's size.
All right, that's pretty fascinating. All right, good news here. We don't have to worry about this 500-foot, was it 500-feet asteroid that was headed our way? Are you playing some music for your own listening enjoyment? Are you playing a video game?
You can't look up anything on the internet without an ad popping up, and I wasn't prepared for that. I'm so sorry.
Right. We are going to continue talking. There was something in the news about NASA, and it's funny because you mentioned this a lot of times. What was the claim? Potentially dangerous or something like that?
Potentially hazardous.
Hazardous.
Asteroid.
So in a way, that's so we can talk about NASA. I have another story that we should talk about, and we will do that next when we continue. All right, we're talking space. We should call this segment Spaced Out with Dr. Mark Hammergren, right? Hammergren, yes. Astronomer for the Adler Planetarium. It's Jimmy Mack. It's Wendy Snyder. You can follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Adler Planet. I love all your billboards about science being freaking cool and stuff, because it is. We're talking about this asteroid that's not going to hit us. NASA was the one who revealed this information. Is that where this alert came from?
Yeah, so NASA, the JPL, they catalog these objects, and they serve as kind of like a coordinating center for asteroid warnings, asteroid defense, that kind of thing.
All right, there's a NASA story in the news today, and Dr. Hammergren knows about it. Jim, you don't. There was a woman who was super excited because she got a NASA internship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were trying to get into radio, if you get an internship, I don't know if you interned anywhere, Dr. Mark.
No. Not specifically, no. Nope.
Well, it's a big thing, and yeah. This girl tweeted something out, because that's what people do on Twitter. And it said something to the effects of, everyone shut the front door, let's say.
Okay.
And she said, everyone shut the front door. I got accepted for a NASA internship. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
A Twitter user just responded to her and said, language.
Right.
And she pretty much went off and told this person to do things to her, and it was pretty dirty.
Right.
And it turns out that the guy she tweeted back to is the National Space Council, the National Space Council that oversees NASA.
Oh, no.
And he revealed that on Twitter. He said, you know, I am on the National Space Council that oversees NASA, and needless to say, she lost her internship.
Yeah, as well, she probably should have.
You know, it wasn't his fault, and he feels really badly about it.
He does. That's what I love about it. He said, later I learned that she had lost her offer for an internship with NASA, and he felt super bad about it. He was just saying language. He wasn't trying to get her fired or anything. She got herself fired.
She did, but it was more her friends, from what I've read.
Oh,
they
now the plot
jumped
thickens.
On the bandwagon and kept using the NASA hashtag, along with terrible insults to this guy, Homer Hickam, who is just a legendary figure in NASA.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, NASA officials, they're going through, oh, well, let's check the social media. Who's using the NASA hashtag? What?
What?
Here's the thing. When you hashtag something, I know in your head you're thinking, because I hashtag the White Sox and say stuff. It's all good. But you never think that they're going to read it. But yes, they have someone who does that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like their tweets become legitimized because of who they hashtag or do the @ sign.
Right.
You know, and so that legitimizes their tweets and gives it a little bit more weight. But then, of course, it puts them right in the spotlight. And I don't think this is about NASA trying to protect the reputation of the gentleman who she was tweeting back at.
No.
It's not about that. It's about representing the company in a public fashion.
Absolutely.
In the proper way and you know, without profanity and things of that measure. It's not all free speech. You can say things like, this is my private account. It's my private account. The opinions I express here are not
represented. It doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't matter. As long as that connection is made,
yeah,
then you are a representative of the company you're working for. You are a public spokesperson if you assume that Twitter handle.
Well, I hope she doesn't apply for any kind of job at the Adler, because, you know, what's her name? Naomi. She made her tweets private as of Wednesday, and her bio now says, taking a break from Twitter for a while.
Oh, I'm sure she is. She should just shut down her account.
Yeah, and start a new one. Dr. Mark Hammergren, astronomer for the Adler Planetarium, we brought him in because there was this giant asteroid, potentially hazardous, 500 feet in length. It's set to zoom past the Earth on August 29th. We don't have to worry. What else do you have coming up? Something that you mentioned something about Armageddon and other things. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, so there's a talk in the Science and on Film series from the Chicago Council on Science and Technology, so C2ST.org. And they're hosting a talk by myself and by Robert Roy Poole. He's the original screenwriter for Armageddon, that wonderful Bruce Willis Saves the World
movie,
you know. And we're going to be talking about, well, not only how realistic was the science or unrealistic, but what is the real story about asteroid defense, asteroid surveys, that kind of thing?
Boy, this is so timely.
And the interaction between scientists and filmmakers, because I'm on the board of a couple film companies, and I advise TV shows and films. And a lot of times there's a good attention paid to trying to get the science right when they can. But then again, it's always the story that comes first.
That's true. We have to wrap up. We're almost out of time. But my husband, Jim, hosts Rebel Force Radio, which you can find anywhere. It's a podcast about Star Wars.
You find it here on WGNplus.com. Exactly.
You have one question that can be answered in 30 seconds for Dr. Hammergren about Star Wars.
Do you think the Millennium Falcon would be an effective way to maybe navigate through an asteroid field? Because, of course, we saw Han and Chewie fly that ship through an asteroid belt in The Empire Strikes Back. As a matter of fact, they flew into an asteroid and discovered they were actually within the belly of a space slug. Do you think space slugs on asteroids are going to cause...
You don't need to answer this question. Thank you so much for coming up. We can follow the Adler at Adler Planet at Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, you can find him as well, and adlerplanetarium.org. He's Dr. Mark Hammergren. Thank you so much for making us feel safe.
My great pleasure.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll see what's coming out or what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jim, you and I are going to go to the stream. We've been banished to the stream.
Here we go.
It'll all happen next, 720 WGN.